Well, good day, everybody. I trust you are enjoying the beginning of fall. I know we are. Here in South Texas, fall means that it doesn't go over 90 degrees at its height, you know, in the afternoon. And in the mornings, we actually start going below 70 degrees. So this is a great time of year for us because it's starting to get a little bit cooler. And I actually like 90 degrees. Whenever May comes, we built a swimming pool. That helps you enjoy 90 degrees more. So we enjoy it in May, enjoy it in June, enjoy it a little bit into July. And then after that, I realized why hellfire and damnation preaching originated in the South. Because you can start thinking about what hell would be like a lot about July and August. And now the cool is coming. So we are really, really thrilled about that. You know, we're going to be talking today about growing through regathering. And I know this fall, all of us were looking forward to it, right? Because when school started, the Delta variant hadn't hit the country like it has now. And so we were looking forward to people coming back. And we have had just slightly, but we have had our largest on-campus gathering that we've had since the pandemic this month. But we still have about 30% of our people who are online. And it's because our hospitals, 30% of the beds are still filled with COVID patients. And my associate pastor, Larry Helms, who's been with me for 30 years, said the other day when he went to do a funeral, he said he'd never seen so many fresh graves in the cemetery. He said there were like 15 fresh graves, grave sites when he was out there doing the graveside service. So it's still a difficult time with COVID, but we're going to get some great help today. And I'm super excited about the guest that we have, Pastor Mark Harrell. He and his wife, Jeanette, are dear friends of Tamara and I. He pastors in Somerset, Kentucky. Victory Christian Fellowship is just a fantastic church. And Mark also, God's used him to gather pastors across the state of Kentucky and to lead a prayer focus that the governor is excited about. And they've had meetings with him. And it's just been a beautiful thing to watch the Holy Spirit do his work through the body of people there. So, Mark, so glad to have you.
Thank you, Jim. It's great being with you. Appreciate what you're doing, friend.
Yeah, well, appreciate what we're all doing, because when our church started growing, somebody said, I like your church. And I said, well, if it was my church, you'd get really bored when you came. The singing would stink. There wouldn't be any nursery. So it's a blessing to be in this together. Yes. You know, you and I met. Man, it's been a long time. It's been over 25 years ago now.
It has a long time, you know, and we're only 30 years old, so we were pretty young.
We were real young, and yeah. I was thinking about building the sanctuary we're in today, and you worked with Larry Stockstill for some years, and you designed a sanctuary for Larry, and Larry was the one who said, Jim, you have to meet Mark Harrell. And we called you. You came down and preached, and Tamara and I fell in love with you guys, and our church did too. But what did you do for Larry? How long were you with him?
I was with Larry through the decade of the 80s and associate pastor, but really just whatever he needed, whatever he did not want to do or be able to focus on over the staff. And then we helped with praise and worship. We did the college and career singles ministry. We were busy. We just look for every opportunity to kind of lift up his arms and make things easier for him. It was a great training time for us.
Yeah. Well, I know he sure thinks the world of you guys. And then you went to Somerset, Kentucky. There was a small prayer group really meeting, right?
Yeah, just a small little group believing the Lord for a life-giving, spirit-filled church to be raised up in the community.
Yeah. And God has sure done it in Somerset, Kentucky. And today we're going to be talking about growing through regathering. First, I want to welcome all of the new pastors in the network. And we've had over 100 people just since we started doing these webinars who become a part of Significant Church Network. And we had our regional exchange yesterday, and we had, you know, more than 100 people there. Just such great fellowship. I mean, there was a pastor who was taken over from his father-in-law. He'd served him for 16 years, and you know, there's things that when you first take on the senior role, you know, you're believing God for. And there's another guy who did the same thing. Ironically, he served his father-in-law 16 years, too, before he became the lead pastor. And just watching those guys have fellowship at the table was just awesome for me. And it's just, you know, it's the reason that we want to do this. And we want to gather together at our national Leaders Retreat in January. If you don't have that on your calendar, it'll be the last Monday of January through Wednesday. And it's going to be a fantastic time when we spend time together there. But, you know, if you get in isolation as a pastor, I love to say this, but when I married my wife, she said, Jim, you're sharp. Man, I'm excited. God's going to do some things. Then about 6 months in, she said, you're sharp, but just not sharp enough. You know what I'm saying? And that's because iron sharpens iron. And we all have the material pastors within us, but we just can't be sharp by ourselves. We need each other. And that's what Significant Church is about. Isolation, meeting, fellowship that brings empowerment. So we start finding resources that bring out the best in us through relationships that we enjoy. So if you're new today, we welcome you to Significant Church. And we like to consider this like our lunch break together. And I love to bring people I know you'd love to hear from during a lunch break. So we're going to jump right into this today. Mark, talk to us about the regathering in Somerset and the things that you've learned about regathering amidst the COVID experience.
Sure. My privilege. Kind of have 3 points, Jim, to kind of express this and get it across, hopefully in a way that others can take it and run with it. The first thing for regathering, you have to grow yourself as a pastor, as a leader. What are you doing to grow yourself in the midst of this? And it all starts with you. Now, we could go all through scripture that we use in our ministry and preaching and teaching, but we need to apply to ourselves. I just have a few scriptures. We won't even read them all, but Romans 12:2, we know it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've all had to do a lot of transforming of our minds through this and new ways to be effective in this hour. So you have to apply the words. Philippians, think on the things that are lovely and pure. Are we thinking on that or just the negative and the things that are surrounding us? Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me. So are we presenting ourselves in a way that people in our church or the community would say, there's an example we can follow during this hour? And then, of course, Matthew 5, talking about being light, being salt. And so we have an opportunity for the word to come alive in us in a powerful way. And if my affections are pointed in the wrong things, toward the issues, toward the cares in a way that's drowning me, I've got to stop and deal with me. And I've said this before. I know, Jim, you heard this when we were down in Florida, but I thought I've got to rearrange my whole schedule. Now, I'm a morning person, but I had to really arrange it to go to bed early and get up anywhere between 3:30 and 4 and just spend time with the Lord.
Good.
Not even trying to get a plan of action or whatever, but just, okay, I need me correct. So everything about me relays confidence and goes forth in such a powerful way. I didn't want to portray anything that would cause my people or the community to think that I was fearful or alarmed. And look, whatever you did, you're getting different information every day and different mandates and things changing. It was a confusing time. So I had to recalibrate my thoughts every day and just spend time and enjoy the presence of God. Everything is changed by my time in his presence. Now, most pastors, including me, I don't know about you, Jim, but we can have a little bit of ADD in us, okay?
Yeah.
And when we say prayer, we have our formula, our little method. I know, Jim, you like to walk in prayer. You like to climb mountains and do different things. I admire that. I'll get on my bike, not a motorcycle, a bike, and go cycle 30 miles and pray. But yeah. I needed something in the morning. Yeah. Now, I'm going to bring an illustration up here, but if I do something with my hands, these fingers right here, I can focus on the Lord. So I said, Lord, what can I do? So, Brother Chris, bring this project up that I did. Okay. I bought a Lego set, okay? That is 2,573 pieces.
That's a pretty good looking
I'm in finding each... Every piece, it was hard to find. But Jim, I would work on this and pray in the Holy Ghost and make notes about, okay, Lord, what are you doing in me? What needs to happen in me? Because I was doing something with my hands, I could focus.
That is so good.
And so I built this during that time to first grow myself. not in being a Lego expert, but being able to focus. Did you open that back? Look, show that. That back. I mean, look, the whole thing
opens up. That's amazing. Okay. That. All right. I mean, I want to buy that Jeep right now. I mean,
there you go.
Just somebody.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah. You know, Mark, what
it'll
what
test your.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It'll test your patience, you know, but you either get sanctified or you will begin cursing. So get sanctified, okay?
Yeah, you know, I used to work out at the end of my day.
Thank you, man.
That was awesome. When I got a little bit older, yeah. I started walking and even walk running in the morning. And yeah. One way you can tell if you're praying right is just how the Lord's talking to you. You know, and the anointing
right.
of my prayer life increased. So someone may say, you mean he put together a Lego set? Listen, when we're the most ourselves in the Lord's presence, I find that's whenever he talks yep. to us the best. So
exactly.
I think that's incredible. And at the national conference, you shared that story I'll never forget, Mark, about the one area where you had a great concern and every pastor would have a great concern with something going on with the staff member, and how if you had taken that into your own hands, it would have never come out the way that it came out.
No.
But
yeah.
when we take things into our hands, we got to remember we just took it out of the Lord's hands. And there's a lot of things
that's
he puts
right.
in my hands, but not everything does he put in
that's
my hands.
It.
So it's important that we learn to put this in God's hands. And, you know.
So when you get yourself straight, that's when you can say, okay, let's define growth. What is it? Is it numbers or is it health? The health of the flock. And I think every pastor has to do that. And that's where your identity comes into play. You have to know your identity above your calling, above your function. My identity, Jim, your identity, you're a child of God. You're his son. And that's where I rest my case. I function as a pastor, love it. But my identity is I'm his child. And so regathering is the health of the sheep. And so it's going to look different. It's going to maybe not be everybody all back together in person, but how is their health? So you've got to know the condition of your flock. This is a lot of time, a lot of effort. You said you have about 70% of your congregation back in person now. That is awesome. I hear things some places only 30, 40%. I think we're about 80%, but still then there's that portion that aren't back. And Proverbs says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. Of course, that's literal sheep. We understand that. But as pastors and shepherds, we've got to know their condition. I think we enjoy speaking from the pulpit, teaching in that way. But now this has gotten a lot more messier because it's got to be each person, each individual in our congregation, if you're going to have a regathering. Again, regathering doesn't mean they're all there, but they are connected in some fashion or form and their needs are being met. So it's a lot of work. People will receive from your spirit more than just your truth or your communication. So your spirit, you take care of yourself. And then as you call them, you stop by their homes, the ones that haven't come back in yet, especially those in rural America. You can do that maybe a little bit easier since your churches would be smaller. A mega church, a church of gym size, you got to divide it up with other key leaders, everybody being a part. And you get to know the people and you get to know their real concern and what's holding them back or what they need so that they can go forward in this hour. Growing results can happen when my efforts are targeted toward knowing the condition of the flock and their health.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to all three of those points, knowing ourselves, knowing the condition of our flock. And then the final thing you're going to talk about is being willing to change. And I know the first one, people have a natural hunger in their hearts to experience the blessing and the protection that we experience through the Holy Spirit. So when they see us model that, I mean, I think the most freeing thing I ever heard was back when I was an aspiring pastor and I heard Dr. Yonggi Cho, which a lot of us know he went to heaven this month. And but anyway, he told us two things. He said, number one, you can reverse failure in your life through fasting, through prayer and fasting, if God made you a promise. And I've seen God do that so many times in my life, because without him, we can do nothing. But with him, great things happen. But then he said to just always remember, you don't build the church. The Holy Spirit does. We feed the flock.
Yes.
And we help them mature. We lead the church into the plan of the Holy Spirit. We oversee the care of the assembly, which we're going to talk about today, but we don't build the church. Jesus builds the church.
No.
And he encouraged us to get on our knees, read the book of Acts, and he said at some point you'll sense the Holy Spirit take charge. And I think that's good advice amidst the COVID pandemic. I know for us, like you said, there's so many thoughts coming to you from so many ways and so many people in the congregation. And every weekend when people are, we've all been in a tough season of life or a challenging season, you know, what you feel means more than what you hear during times like that. Yeah. So when people come to church, when they feel the Holy Spirit, and that first point you're talking about, Mark, about really grow yourself first, whenever there's pressure, you know what's inside of us, right? And sometimes as we're growing, God has to grow us. And sometimes God has to like reestablish us in things. I'm going to read quickly before you talk about, you can talk more about growing yourself if you want to, and then your second point. But I did some research. I like to set some time aside to help a lot of pastors every time we're together. So I found this from one of our really good research firms that do their research for predominantly churches, big denomination. Here are the traits of churches that are doing well during the pandemic. Number one, they're providing strong, visionary Bible teaching. In other words, people are looking for answers. When you're hurting, you're looking for answers. And they haven't got lost in the pandemic, but they're giving their people answers every single week. The second thing, they're keeping people engaged in purpose. So for us, when we called through our list, about 70% of our 800 volunteers were ready to serve in the midst of the pandemic, which is huge. Of course, we went through what some of you did. They'd serve if they couldn't, if they didn't have to wear a mask. And we had to wear a mask early. We're in Texas. It's easier than where some of you are. But about 30% of them didn't. So how do you help that other 30% serve in the midst of a pandemic? Because people still need teaching. People still need to fulfill purpose. The third thing, this is interesting, is they're staying away from political fighting. I found that really interesting because we know everything's being politicized, but there are probably enough voices to that outside of our church. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to tell you what to do in your church, but I thought that was an interesting characteristic. Yep. Number four, they're reevaluating their staff structure. And I think one of the good things about COVID is we've realized that maybe our staff is more program driven than our church is. And our church just wants to come and hear from God. And they appreciate all this. But all of this doesn't make up for feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit and being rooted in really good relationships. So a lot of churches have reevaluated their staff structure during this time. And they've seen if the staff is doing things for themselves or really for the service of the congregation. The fourth one is they're given great focus to welcome ministries. That, you know, there's a lot of people that have, you know, started engaging online. All of us have seen new people at church. We look around, we think, man, there's a lot of new people here. And how well our welcome ministries assimilate is important. Number six, they're given strong focus to team and small group structures. Number seven, I like this, they're creating mini prayer groups. My wife does that in her ladies' ministry. And it just amazes me how connected they are and how they're praying together. Number eight, they're befriending the community with things that, Mark, I know you're going to share with us. And then number nine, they're just persistent. So I hope those nine things help you today. So Mark, know yourself, know the condition of your flock.
That's awesome what you just shared. Thanks. And I'm hoping I'm going to watch this again and write all that down. Let me talk about be willing to change, Jim. This is something I think we, especially different ones that have been in ministry for a while, if you do the same thing, the same way, you're not going to get a different result. So this is a great opportunity to examine everything that you're doing. So people need ministry in different capacities. And this is where, again, you have to know the condition of your flock. But certain things we've done, I know, Jim, you've done it. But number one, we create a clean, healthy environment at church. All the buildings, the restrooms, the doors, I mean, every chair is sprayed. We communicate that we're doing all we can to keep the atmosphere in the building clean. And then simplify and change things where needed. Some things just aren't needed during COVID. Certain things aren't going to function well where maybe many people are gathered in a small space. So you have to think, how can we take big things and make them smaller. You're talking about Tamara and her prayer groups. Jeanette has done the same. And we have prayer groups that meet during the week here, and they're small groups. And then even email prayer groups and Zoom prayer groups, all that type of stuff helps. And if you, again, take care of that vertical relationship first, you're going to hear what you need to do in your region, your city, your county, and so forth. Don't force people to regather just one way, okay?
That's
you cannot
awesome.
Do that. You have to be sensitive to them and make every option a win, okay? Every option that you offer for regathering is a win, and celebrate that, comment it on in service, the people. People need to be valued for whatever they're doing to make a win. See, there are a lot of people that are still paralyzed by fear or have legitimate health concerns. And those that have legitimate health concerns, look, I get it. Stay at home, watch online, you know, we'll bring you CDs, whatever we need to do. And then there's some, not a whole lot, but there's some, they're just paralyzed by fear. And we have to be careful how we talk to them, that we don't marginalize them. And they feel less than. Somehow Holy Ghost give us wisdom for breakthrough. Actually, we had a breakthrough with one couple right after Monday morning prayer this week. They came in paralyzed with fear, and two of my pastors were able to minister to them, and they were here Wednesday night full of the joy of the Lord. They hadn't been in service really maybe once or twice since COVID. So as you pray for those that are paralyzed, God will give you the right opportunity in his timing. Ministry to the flock and to the community has to change. Be sure your online is as sharp as you can make it. Spend money on technology and your equipment and all that type of stuff, live streaming, your Facebook, you know, Jim, all the things that our team helps us with, because I can barely operate the remote in my house, if you know what I mean. But they can help you so that things are sharp and presentable. What is your message during this time? I challenge pastors. It's not a time to talk about how many angels can dance on the end of a pen, okay? That is irrelevant. People need messages that where you're reaching down and you're helping to bring them up, lift them up, so they have something practical, scriptural, something they can apply as they walk out of the door. This whole year, our whole theme has been back to basics, back to basics. So we've tried to present messages and series that will encompass so many different areas to give them hope and their future, their current needs. Right now we're talking about a series, The Uncommon Family. What does it mean to be uncommon in the midst of a COVID? It's practical, it has humor, but yet real truth on what we can do to shine bright. Keep the main thing, you touched on it. It's not a time to be a political activist or a conspiracy theorist or, you know, pro this, against that, and, you know, fear. Don't do that. If a pastor does that, they're just going to go down with a sinking ship. It's a time for us to be a Daniel. Man, read about his life. He was in a horrible situation, and he kept praying. He kept doing, and he was able to serve ungodly kingdoms, and the Lord used him mightily to be effective in his time. So some of the things we've talked about, I even did a short series on the spirit of the Antichrist, excuse me, from 1 John 4. They dealt with the spirit of the Antichrist back there. He talks about it. He said the spirit of the Antichrist, that's even here. We're just dealing with it in a higher way. And in times, it talks about, you know, pandemics in the Word of God. So this should not take us by surprise. It's not a time to hide. It's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to say, I can shine. I can be light. I can be salt. I'm going to be an example to my family and the community, because regathering is a time to celebrate every type of win that comes your way. I had a really neat experience through all this. We contacted basically anyone who we did not see once we had regathered back in May of last year of 2020, and we were able to open back up, started making a list of people, contacting them, making sure they're able to watch online. If they did not have any technology, I was literally going around house to house delivering CDs. So initially it took hours when this first started, but it gave me an opportunity to look in people's eyes and love them and encourage them. Gradually, all those people began getting a smartphone or a computer or something. We're down to just a few right now that I'm having to do that. But I love this. One family, they're in their early 80s. They have a few compromised health conditions, but very sound minds. So they were being cautious. They didn't have any technology. They were just using a flip cell phone, okay? And so I'd go by their home and check on them, pray with them, give them a CD. Well, lo and behold, about 3 months ago, they got a smartphone and someone helped them download the app for our church and all that type of thing. So they're watching every week. Every week they're watching online. People tell you that, but you often wonder, are they really doing it? Well, I had a great opportunity with Eric Smith, who we all know and love, that's assisting us to do a crusade in Pakistan. It's very interesting. I did it from my platform, and I was zoomed in on a big screen. The people were there. I could see the people. They could see me on the big screen. It was phenomenal. And we bought Bibles for the team there that was there in Pakistan to give out to the people after we prayed with them for salvation, an unreached people group. So the week before that, I told the people at church, I'm trying to include people as much as I can in everything. You know, I said, okay, I'm going to need some intercessors, and we're going to set up a place here in the building for you, a safe place. Well, this one family that just got the technology, the gentleman in his 80s, he called the week of, or really the day, the morning of when we were going to do the live crusade. And he said, Mark, can I come in the building and pray while that's going on? I said, absolutely, which means he heard it watching. So I set up a chair on the platform where he could see the people. He was out of view of the camera, but he could see the people. And I could hear him praying softly in the Holy Ghost the whole hour. And he got so touched by seeing that. You know what that's called? That's called a win. Now, he and his wife aren't back in service yet, but they're watching, they're connected, we make calls. You have to be doing things proactive. Things we've talked about, be strong and very courageous. Stay in the race, living from the tree of life. We kind of dealt with, don't become an activist for anything pro and against. Be an activist for the word of God and Jesus being their answer. Never condemning, just reaching and pulling people up. Your teaching and preaching to the flock and the community has to change. So here's some of the questions I would ask people when we were first checking on them, when we still check on them, if they're not back in service. Truthfully, how are you doing? Just talk to me. How are you doing?
And you know, listen. Mark, in that area, one of the things that yesterday at our exchange, somebody got a piece of what I consider bad advice. I think the world of the person who gave it. But he said, don't go after sheep that are gone. Don't go after sheep gone. He said, go after new ones. And that to me sounds a lot like a big city mentality, you know, where your church is growing through your visitor flow, you know, and I've been there and even have a little more opportunity to do that than a lot of rural places do. But and pretty much all the pastors came with this, but we found a list of questions to ask people amidst COVID. And every 2 to 3 months, we just call through our list and hey, how are you? How's your family doing? We're just calling to love on you and to pray for you. And it's amazing how often they show up in church. And again, 70% of our church is here, 30% is online. I'm not trying to get the online here right now because 30% of our hospital beds are filled with COVID patients. But it's you know, I understand that in a normal scenario that maybe your online church is like the shallow end of your pool and you're trying to get them to the building. But for a lot of people, they don't need to be in the building right now. And they need to be affirmed in the fact they're following the Holy Spirit and that you as a pastor are praying for them to stay safe, for their key relationships to bond, and for God to do something special in them, for them, and through them in this season of their life. So, but anyway, when I heard that, I just said to guys, I said, well, I agree that if our calls are to try to get people back, we're better off not making those calls. Because if people feel any pressure, you're better off not making the call. But if we're calling for prayer and if we're calling for connection, then that's a whole nother ball game. And I can tell you, I want to just give a shout out to Pastor Forrest and Gonzalez, that they have numbers more like yours. They have more, about 80% on campus and maybe 20% online. But he did a great job of, I mean, he's getting cameras and he's upgrading right now, but he just took an iPhone and he got some young people who I've watched it and it's really, really good. And they've been successful online with something as simple as an iPhone mounted in the right place. And they went up and they worked hard to make their webcast really, really good. And they've succeeded. I mean, that church now is, you know, reaching 2% of Gonzales County up there. And we're just so thrilled with what God's doing through those people. But Mark, I'm going to confess, I was, when I talked to you the first time, you talked about taking CDs by and some of the things that you did. I wish I'd done that well, because, you know, we did better than some, but there were things that we learned. I appreciate you bringing that up about how you took CDs. Tell me the response of some of those people when you did that.
Oh, they're just so grateful. And most of those people are back in service now as they gain confidence and so forth. There again, I never put pressure. Hey, we're just trying to serve you. But, you know, when you call someone, are you go by their home, how are you doing? They need to know we care. And then I'll often say, what can we do for you, especially if it's a widow or an elderly person? We have one precious widow. She actually stopped by the church today. She was in town for a doctor's appointment. She lives an hour away. She's been coming for 20-something years. She had a major surgery and has not been able to come back. I mean, she does things for the ladies in her community. She'll have Jeanette come over and speak to ladies. I mean, a powerful woman of God. So I said, Miss Glenda, is there anything we can do for you? She's never asked for anything. And she said, well, my deck is kind of falling apart. And so I was going to get some men, and the Holy Ghost said, no, you go do it. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And
if I did it, Mark, it would fall apart again. So you're better than I am.
Well, I took one carpenter with me. He had a joy. He loves helping our widows. It took us two whole Saturdays. We had a blast. But I was doing, I said, Lord, let this be a seed for others in the body of Christ to reach out and connect to the other people.
Good.
And I have seen it miraculously where different ones are helping and doing things. And I find out about it after the fact. That's what I love. Like, there was a need and they all jumped in and helped. So that's a great thing. You know, it's kind of a time right now for ministers where we come off the platform and we really mingle with the sheep and that are there, and then the ones that aren't there, and the way you do that creatively. There's a saying my wife Jeanette loves, you know, because she follows shepherds. She'll follow them on Instagram. It just fascinates her. And you know, shepherds live with the sheep and they'll smell like the sheep. And she says, Mark, we've got to smell like the sheep.
That's good.
We've got to smell like the sheep, which means there's got to be some meeting with them. So do things differently. Maybe it's a family that they're not able to be here much, or we'll go to one of their kids' ball games. There's things you can do to support. You can see over in the corner, I think you can see it online if I point this way, like tables back there. We've set up in the back a ministry fair. We're doing this for 2 weeks, showing all the areas people can be connected to in the body of Christ on a smaller scale. Some of them are prayer groups, sporting things, cooking things, teaching things, but all of them basically amount up to the bigger congregation meeting in smaller groups. There's cell group information back there, and it's giving an option for wins. And so they're using this in outreach to different people that maybe aren't even back in-house yet. So they're learning and growing. You've got to constantly be thinking of doing things in a different way. You know, because a lot of people are hurting, that some businesses have closed. I'm sure they have in your area. Different ones have lost their jobs. But people have been so faithful, Jim. I think you can attest in their giving and their support. So people are committed. They're just not all regathered in the sanctuary yet. And you as a minister have to be at peace at that and realize there's different ways to create wins. We just had the Kentucky Prayer Focus last Saturday. We met at the historic Cane Ridge Log Cabin in Paris, Kentucky. And we called it a homecoming. And I had people come in from around the state. We prayed. We're praying for Kentucky. It was awesome. You know, different ones kept social distancing, even circulating around the cabin outside with their mask, but believing. And then reach out to your pastors. I have a pastor's group that I host at least once a month, sometimes twice. And when we first started back up after the shutdown, of course, it kind of, the numbers were in half that normally come, but we're back now to a normal number, basically. New pastors are coming and the community's reaching out to us. So our hospital reached out to me. Could we put together a prayer service? I said, I'll take care of it. And so I put it together real fast, like in about 8 days. And we met Monday night on the top level of the parking lot, garage. I'm just going to hold up the paper on today's paper. I don't know if you can see this. I'll hold it. That's covering that. I had pastors pray. I explained while we were there. We had worship. They're stretching out their hands. I had pastors pray in faith. I coached them in what they needed to do. I assigned them a different area. I hired a guy with a drone. He's put together a really neat video. I'm going to send that around to my friends and encouraging them. They can do this in their city. What can you do for your city? What can we do different? How can I think different? So regathering, it's fun. We're having a blast. I've never worked so hard in my life, Jim. Yeah. It takes me twice as long to prepare a message because it's got to be relevant. It's got to be approachable. It's got to be doable. It has to be something people can run with when they leave. And my staff are being a part of this with the Uncommon Family. I have one of my associates speak this week because he ministers to young couples. He's going to give a side of it. Jeanette's going to speak one Sunday. We're making fun atmosphere. Worship has been so good in the house of God. People that come, they're ready to grow. They're ready to be fed. So it's a time for everybody to do something a little bit different. We don't always know what to do. I don't always know what to do, but I know this. And when I did the series about the spirit of the Antichrist, I read from Jeremiah 12:5. If you have raced with the men on foot and they have worn you out, what are you going to do to compete with horses? And then I went over the Revelation chapter 6. It talks about the four horses, you know, in the end times. And I told people, look, I said, I'm not saying we're in the end times, but we're in the spirit of it. If they had it back in the Bible days, just think how much more it's increased now. And so we have to know how to deal with this so we can keep pace with the footmen. So if anything else comes, okay, Delta has showed up. What are we going to do when Continental and Southwestern and United come by? Okay. You know, it's just any other variant, anything. We've got to be ready, and the body of Christ can shine brightly. The Word of God talks about, you know, the end time with all the people coming to Christ. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And so that's the spirit we're wanting to getting across. Yeah. You're not going to know what to do in every situation. I don't. And so I've adopted Harrison Ford's famous quote from the 1981 Raiders of the Lost Ark, when one of the people with him said, Harrison, whatever his name was in the show, do you know what you're doing? And he says, I don't know. I'm making this up as I go. So sometimes it's just that we have to make up some things in faith and present it in a positive way. Hey, pastors, friends, you can thrive right now, and it's fun.
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the great things about preaching right now is it has to be so relatable. And when we come to the throne of God's grace, it says he gives us two things. He gives us mercy, and mercy means he feels with us. Actually, it means, you know, there's a difference in sympathy and empathy. You know, when you empathize, you feel for. When you sympathize, you feel with. And Jesus sympathized with people. That's where the smell like sheep thing comes. And I know I changed how I greet people. I have my son Michael and his wife on one side of our sanctuary, Tamara on the other side. We make sure nobody gets out without us seeing them and smiling at them. Yeah. If somebody wants to talk with them, we have somebody hold them. So we can just see every single face that comes in and every single face for the most part. Now, we people in the upper risers at the 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock's up to the curtain, 11 o'clock's upper risers. So we can't see everybody in the upper risers, but we sure like to. And we make sure everybody has somebody there because they need to see somebody and they need people sympathizing with them with what they're going through. And I think what Mark's talking about, sermon prep taking longer, is we may be saying less, but feeling our people more. And I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
I know with our children, yes. Tamara's great at that. So a lot of times before I even talk to them, I'd ask her to talk with them because her personality is, man, she'll affirm every feeling in the world. Then I'll talk to her and say, do we really want to affirm that one or do we want to change it? And we'd have a talk. And sometimes I'd be ahead of the stage of life they were in, or sometimes she was feeling too much and the Lord would straighten us out, you know, he'd get us together and make us better together. But as pastors, we really do. We have to feel people during this time. And Mark says, I thought that ministry fair was a great idea because one of the things that I read is that there's two things that every pastor should have working in his church. And you can do this with volunteers. One is we all need guest services coordinators. And we probably have it in our church, but it's different now because a lot of our visitor flow comes online. And how are we handling the online people? Do they feel like they're just an add-on or do they feel a part? I know for us, we have service hosts online. And so 5 minutes before it starts, and when the service is over, they're encouraging you to call in with prayer requests. And one thing we changed in our services, we used to pray individually with people, but now we take the prayer requests and we have a 5-minute prayer slot in our service. And I've loved it more because it's modeling prayer for the people. They're actually hearing people pray from the platform instead of, and I don't think we'll ever go back to the way that we used to do it because we have prayer partners available at the end if you want individual prayer, but people are actually learning to pray in the model that we're using now.
That's good.
I mean, there's just a lot of good, and I want to echo what Mark said, that it really starts with knowing yourself. And we too have, I hate to say enjoyed this season because I'd never want to live through it again, but I have enjoyed who the Holy Spirit's been to us in this season.
Yeah.
And to be real, the first few weeks, Tamara and I were like, this is kind of fun. You know, it's we're getting to stay home a little bit more. We're getting to be together.
I hear you.
And that just lasted a few weeks. And like a lot of us, we reopened in the end of May. And then it's just really the presence of the Holy Spirit that makes things special. So I want to just do a couple of things. I'm going to go back to Mark in just a minute. But if you have any question you want to ask Mark, I want to encourage you, if you put it on the chat, in the chat room, we'll ask him that question. Or if you have anything you want to ask me, obviously you can do that too. But I want to speak to pastors who are experiencing decision fatigue. Because when I was younger, you know, it's one thing to be mature. But in maturity, you can do more with less effort when you're in maturity. But we all have things that fatigue us because we just don't know what to do. And COVID certainly been one of those times where I don't want anybody to feel like, well, I'm glad for them. It was all great. But honestly, it's been the worst time of my life. No, I've had those days too in the midst of this. And I think everybody who's honest would say that they've had those days. But the Holy Spirit does renew us. So I want to talk for just a minute about if you're fighting decision fatigue, I want to encourage you to do these things. Number one, don't make any big decisions in the midst of your storm, because a storm isn't a time to make a big decision in your life. It's a time to be still and to know that He is God. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to start scheduling prayer times that causes God to renew your spirit more, because we do run out of strength in this calling, if God isn't renewing our strength. And, God called them to Sabbaths, God called them to new moons, and God called them to special seasons. And Tamara and I follow that plan, that every 6 days we have a Sabbath and we treat it like a gift from God. We don't do anything that doesn't feel like a gift on that seventh day. And then on the new moon, we take an extra day and we make sure we're going to start the next month in praise over the things that God's doing. Not weighed down, not burdened down, but in praise because of what the Holy Spirit's, you know, bringing forth in our hearts. And then, of course, we have family vacations and things like y'all do. But I want to encourage you, don't make any big decisions in the midst of your storm. And schedule prayer breaks. Let God renew your spirit. The third thing I want to encourage you to do is talk to people who have been there, which is why these webinars help. I mean, how valuable was it that I sat in that room with Dr. Cho and I heard him say, you don't build churches, the Holy Spirit does. Because I did what he said and God was who he promised me that God would be to me during that time. And for some of you, God's speaking to you during this webinar. And no person builds churches, no flesh is the glory in God's presence, but the Holy Spirit builds churches, and we can learn from each other, right? And then the next thing I want to encourage you to do is develop a prayer team around you if you're fighting decision fatigue. And the reason that's important is when you pray with other people, the Holy Spirit can't get us all worn out at the same time. But when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to a leadership team, we all get strength through that. So for some of you fighting decision fatigue, again, don't make decisions in the midst of the storm. Schedule prayer breaks that allow the Holy Spirit to renew you. Talk to people who've been there before. Develop a prayer team. And then I want to just encourage you to enjoy a lot the things the Holy Spirit's doing. They may seem like small things. One of the worst things we do in ministry is compare ourselves to other people, because you're an original. You're not to be like somebody else. God doesn't even make a snowflake the same. Nobody's voice prints the same. Nobody's fingerprints the same. Why? God wants to speak to the world uniquely through our church. God wants to touch the world uniquely through who we are and who our church is. And He wants your heart to be filled with joy over who He's making you to be every single day. So I want to encourage you to do those five things. Again, don't make decisions in the midst of the storm. Schedule prayer breaks. Talk to someone who's been there. Develop a prayer team. And enjoy the special things that God's doing in your church if you're fighting decision fatigue. And honestly, if those things don't work, you probably need to schedule a sabbatical. And we're here to walk with pastors through difficult times. But that's been so helpful. I just want to thank everybody, so much for leading your churches like you do. And Mark, thank you for what you've been sharing. What else is on your heart today?
I would encourage pastors to, we never want to be an ostrich with our head in the sand, but limit how much news and things you allow in your spirit that would be detrimental. And got to be very careful. We need to, if you spend more time with the news and papers or, you know, any of that than you do in the Word of God and your time with God, you're out of balance. And so how can you do that in a little bit of time with God and be ready to minister to your people? So be careful what you allow into your spirit. I try to guard my spirit. And when I love it in my car, if I suddenly something is becoming too critical, whatever on the news, I just put it back over on one of the praise stations and I just start praising. I seriously do. I just train my spirit to guard it. So guard your spirit. You know, if you're in a smaller church, this is something you can do pretty easily. It might not work in a larger church as much, but we do shout outs every Sunday morning to someone who's watching online that we know, especially people who maybe were part of our congregation and they've moved to another city or state and they still are connected and they're watching. It takes 10 seconds. Hey, let's give brother and sister so-and-so, they're watching from Timbuktu, you know, come on, everybody gives a big clap and, you know, thank you for being a part. Even some of these families that have been with us because they've not re-entered in person at a different church because of COVID, they're inviting neighbors and so forth. We have one group in another state. I don't know how many families are gathering at their home, watch us every week. So we just pick a different family that's meeting there and give them a shout out, or someone who's recovering from sickness or disease. Just a quick shout out. And it may, hey, let's welcome our family, bam. So that's very simple thing. Hosting, we do that as well. Greeting people before and after. I mean, I tell our staff, and Jeanette and I mean, we're right at that door. You can make people feel valued and necessary and cared for before service and after service in that hour, then 20 hours working hard during the week. So just changing things so that you're with the people, they know you love them, that you care for them. It's been fun. It's exhausting. But I tell you what, I don't regret it. I thank the Lord for what He's done in my own life through it and changes He's done. And build yourself up, pastors, with the Lord. Take care of yourself. Know the condition of your flock. Be willing to change where you need to.
Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, Mark, I've been picking up my phone and making notes while you're talking to things I want to do in the church. So it's been really, really helpful to me today. But a lot of people say, hey, when are we going to get back to normal? We never are. There's a new normal. No. And but God's never shocked by it. And wineskins constantly change. And it's what this has done in a lot of ways is it's reminded us of our need for prayer, our need to be, you know, hold things light, our need to flow with Him. And those are good things for us to do as people. Yeah. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Pat Murray with us. He's going to be talking about thinking like a leader. And I love the flow of this month because I really enjoyed Stephen Mansfield the last couple of months when he talked about Winston Churchill and leading through crisis. And then I enjoyed John Nuzzo when he talked about, you know, the things the Holy Spirit speaking to him about and, you know, speaking life in this hour because we're hindering the work of the Holy Spirit. If we're not careful, the Spirit we live with, we're going to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. And then today, Mark, I think you did such a great job of exemplifying what it means to be a pastor during a time of crisis. And I appreciate you. My church is more successful. My church is stronger. And Tamara and I's personal life is safer because we're connected to people like you. And we thank you for who you and Jeanette are. And I think we all heard from the heart of a real pastor today, somebody who loves his people. And, you know, it'd be interesting if the people that were doing the stats would just check if a pastor really loved his people and stayed connected to his people during times like these. What difference just that one thing makes in the life of a church. And every time I'm with Mark, I always feel like he's making me a better pastor. And I know that happened for you guys today. Now, obviously, for God to touch his flock, the Bible says, oversee the sheep who are under our care. So we need a lot of our leaders to be working with us to do what God wants done. And I'm looking forward to you know, our next webinar with Dr. Pat and just talking about, okay, I'm living with a caring heart. I'm in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I develop a leadership culture in the church that causes God to do a lot of things? So we'll look forward to that next week. Yeah. Mark, before we go, you want to pray for the pastors?
Absolutely. And Jim, we just honor you and Tamara and your leadership and the team you've put around you to make Significant Church continue to blossom and reach more and more pastors. I know that's your heart here in America, even abroad, because if you save a pastor and you help a pastor, you help a whole congregation. So thank you for what you do. And we love you dearly. Lord, what an honor and a privilege to pray for pastors and those that would be listening today, watching today. I just pray, Father, that you would make their time with you so special, that they're not trying to use that time to figure out a plan or come up with a strategy, but just allow that to be a time of soaking in your presence where they hear from you about how they can be well and strong. And then through that, Father, you're going to show them how to love the flock and take care of the flock and truly know the condition of the flock. And as you speak to them about changes they can make or need to make, the grace will be there, the energy will be there, the focus will be there to bring changes that people can see and be able to follow that leadership to take us, Father, where we're going. As Jim said, Lord, we know we're never going back to the same old, same old. So we're excited about who we are today and who you're making us to come through the days, weeks, and months ahead. We want to see more people come to Christ than ever before. May we make it hard for anyone to go to hell from our cities in Jesus' name. So we thank you for it now. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, man, it was great being with you guys today. And I know your heart's filled with life. And that's really the heart of, you know, this network God's brought together is that pastors' hearts are filled with life. Their families' life is filled with life. Their churches are filled with life. And impact just takes care of itself whenever those things happen. Like we said, our enemy is isolation because we're all sharp. We're just not as sharp as we need to be if we don't spend enough time together. So thank you for spending time today. Thank you for caring about pastors in your region. Again, go ahead and mark the date. I saw it was on the chat of the Significant Church National Conference. We're going to look forward to being together. And man, we just have one lifetime to do something for Jesus. Let's do it well. Let's do it with joy. Let's help each other do it. And watch God multiply the impact as we enjoy being a family together. And let's put a big smile on Jesus' face up in heaven, huh? Love you guys. Have a powerful weekend. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.